Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 354 of the Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you. Brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Yeah, long time no talk. It's been a while. It's been about 8 days. Well, I'll get into all that and whatnot. Today's episode, I have a familiar sounding voice. Jay from Iowa is back on the show. I've had him on numerous times. Much like when I had Alec on, we did a State of the Union, kind of the State of the East Coast League. Today we're going to do the State of the Southern Pro League, kind of at the halfway mark. And of course, Jay is a season ticket holder in Quad City. He's an old minor league guy from way back and he's seen it all. So, he's going to talk to us about the good, the bad, the ugly of the Southern Pro so far. Initially when we recorded the episode, I kind of do an intro at the start of it and it's like, that was going to be it. I wasn't going to do, I was just going to slap it out there and let's go. I've obviously changed my mind and I'm doing an intro to it. Point being is in the episode at the time when Jay and I recorded it, Daniel Amesbury had not been signed by anybody and he had just been banned by the Federal League, and we were kind of going on and on how, you know, Bush it all is and blah, blah, blah. Well, since then, there has been activity, and we will get into that. But since that happened, I wanted to do an update, so I'm like, well, I guess I have to do an intro now. So here's my intro. But there's a few things I want to talk about. Jay and I go for a little bit over an hour, but so that's going to leave me about 15, 20 minutes to talk to you guys now. I'm going to talk to you about a few things. I got a few topics I want to talk about briefly, news and notes, if you will, and then you know what I'm doing here, sitting here right now, and then we'll get into the show. But as always, the first I have to say, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. Over 100 shows in the network. I'm on the original content creator side, along with Joel Azito of the Coliseum Chronicles. And I talked to Joe today. He texted me. It is finished. It's complete. His next episode will be dropping Monday. He finally finished the epic interview. I don't know how many. I didn't ask him how many episodes. I'm sure it's a million. You know, I'm sure it's, you know, an encyclopedia. But episode part one of that interview will be dropping on Monday. I am not going to say who it is, but he is a favorite of mine. I'm looking very forward to this interview. As far as I know, he's never done a podcast interview before. And he's a minor league legend, folks. And believe me, if you were a minor league hockey fan, fight fan, you will be loving this. So really looking forward to it. So Monday, Coliseum Chronicles. Alec is busy loading up the U-Haul and going across country. I don't know if he's good, or maybe just taking the blocks off the house and hooking it up and towing it to wherever they're going. He's heading to Tennessee, folks, the Smoky Mountains. Off he goes. He's on the move again. Yep. I'll tell you, like a fart in a blanket, you know, always somewhere. But, so he's sort of on in a holding pattern right now outside of fighting with the East Coast League again. So I don't know when Alec will do another episode, but for right now he's stacking boxes and Rubbermaid tubs and wrapping up the fine china and I guess you don't have to wrap paper plates, so you know who knows what's going on over there and that with that hillbilly, but I wish him well on his move and I do not envy him. Everyone listening, we've all moved a few times and I can't think of anything more awful. And, so good luck to you, sir. Safe travels, but, other than that, check it out. Fourth Line Voice on Twitter as well as on Facebook, my YouTube channel. I know I keep saying I'm going to update my YouTube channel and get it going. I will. I promise I will. My my January has been a little little all over the place, a little scattered with work and everything else, a new job and old job, and around we go. But you know, I'll get into all that briefly here. But you know, my schedule has been kind of goofy. But anyway, yeah. So the last episode I released was like basically last week. Was it last Monday? I believe I released it. And of course, any long term listeners know I do two shows a week, Wednesday and Sunday. Although through December and January here, that's kind of been all over the place. And it is something that I want to go back to. Although I'm saying that, and in the middle of February, on the 19th, I leave for Las Vegas for 10 days. So, we'll see how I could stick with the schedule. I apologize because I've actually gotten a couple emails from listeners. They're kind of like, "Dude, what happened to your show? Where you?" All I can say is subscribe to Spotify or iTunes or whatever you're listening to, and then when the episode drops, you'll get notified. I just do it that way. But yes, that is my goal, is to get back on the Wednesday Sunday schedule. And yeah, now that you know, work has sort of straightened itself out, and yes, I was sort of a nomad here at work. I'm bouncing through different departments here. I will say now, I've talked to a few people, and they know I am actually I reverted. I went back to my old position. The supervisor position did not work out. It wasn't really what I thought it was going to be. Fortunately, in our union, you have 90 days to try out a job, and if you don't like it, you can revert back. It was only a temporary position to begin with, anyway, up to a year. It was a discipline thing, and they haven't decided what they're doing yet. So in the meantime, they had a bunch of fill-ins, so to speak, and I was one of them. But it could have been next month, 2 months, a year, you know, they didn't really know. But it was up to a year was the posting anyway that I had taken. And I wanted to try a supervisor position. I haven't been in one, within the city. And, yeah, I tried it. I was there for almost 3 weeks, and, yeah, it wasn't, well, I will say the job was fine. I enjoyed the job. I enjoyed the people there. That wasn't the issue. Basically, it just came down to money, and not to sound like some greedy asshole, but basically the way they had scheduled it, they had scheduled it with the staffing, and it was a new area within Saskatoon, and it's a whole new department that's been created, and a new area, Recovery Park, and it's a whole environmental thing. It's been a 10-year deal that they've been building this, and so needless to say, it went way over budget, and to rein it in, they're cutting costs and everything else, and in doing that, they're cutting the overtime and all that, which I understood from their point of view. Of course, I didn't know that until I got there and started realizing what was going on. Like I said, I've been with this job for 21 years, so I'd like to think I'm, I know where the bear shits in the buckwheat, so I didn't need it drawn for me. I could figure it out. And, I went and had some really, positive, conversations with the superintendent, and, laid out my position, and he told me what was going on and going forward, what they're doing. And, I came and sat and talked with the wife one night, and we kind of did the pluses and minuses of staying or going. And, it just, at this time in my life with a mortgage and everything else and, you know, and pensions based on my 7 best years. It was, financially, I just couldn't do it. It was way too much of a hit. Like we're talking like $15,000-$20,000 difference. So it was, we're not talking $1,500 or a couple hundred dollars. I mean, you know, substantial difference. So it was just, I couldn't afford to stay, is basically what it came down to. And, you know, I told the superintendent that. We kind of laid out the numbers, and he agreed. He was just like, yeah, no, you can't afford to stay here. And so I'm back in my old position, which isn't bad. I never left my position because I hated it. I didn't hate my job. In fact, it's looking better and better by the day as I've come back. You know what they say, sometimes the grass is greener only because it's over top of the septic tank. So, you know, and I shouldn't say that because where I went was not bad. It wasn't my hatred for the people or I need to get out. Like I said, it was strictly financial. And going forward in the foreseeable future anyway. So, but like I said, it wasn't, the door hasn't been closed permanently or anything. Like I said, in the future, if other supervisor jobs open up, and I bet nothing's going to be held against me or anything like that. In fact, he said he really enjoyed, everybody seemed to really enjoy my, you know, having me out there. And, yeah. And like I said, I see these guys all the time anyway with my other job. So in garbage anyway. So, yeah, it's not like I was going to some completely foreign place. So, and actually I started my 21 years ago, I started out at the landfill. So it was, you know, it was kind of old home week. So, but a lot has changed since for 21 years. The point of all my rambling here, get to it, too late. Yeah, no. So anyway, I am back in my original position, back in the saddle on the iron horse. And, so my schedule is back to the old schedule. And, let's act like this never happened and we'll get on with life. But in the meantime, yeah, so that's kind of, you know, I've been moving back and forth and shifting. I went back from 10-hour shifts to 8.5-hour shifts and blah, 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 and working weekends again and sometimes and overtime and stats and EDOs and all that sort of nonsense. So, my schedule has been really, really kind of goofy all of January here. And, so I apologize now. I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, cause I kind of mentioned it in the last episode that things were kind of getting, I wasn't quite sure what was going on. You know, and, yeah, but now I'm back, and this is my first week back. Well, of course, my first week back, it was literally at the start of this week was minus 50 outside. I'm like, oh, maybe I should have stayed in the office for one more week. It was really nice today, but it was like minus 2 today. But yeah, minus 50 is enough to, you question a lot of things when it's minus 50. So it was just, you know, things around the house needed to get done. You know, blah, blah, blah. So, this is a very long-winded reply to why I have not come out with episodes in 8 days. But I'd like to think here advancing forward. Well, and I also want to say I didn't want to short Jay's episode by putting it out on Sunday and then 3 days later coming out with another one. I sort of like to keep, in the perfect world, I would have my interviews or my guests on the Wednesday show, because I think the Wednesday show can be a little longer. Now, I'm not talking Joe Lazito marathons. My goal, sort of in my mind, it's the Wednesday show can be about an hour and a half. Unless I have a guest on and it's going really well and we're blah, 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 and it goes for 2 hours. Hey, you know, I'm not going to cut a guy off. But, you know, an hour and a half is where I'd kind of want to be. Whereas the Sunday show, I'd like to keep between 45 and an hour. That's kind of my goal now. And the Sunday show will be kind of my ranting about whatever. That's my goal going forward. I kind of want to get back on the guest thing on Wednesday, whether it be a player or a fan. You know, not just solo episodes constantly. Although I will say every once in a while, I kind of get in a mood and I just want to be by myself and just do these shows. But, going forward, that's going to be kind of the goal. I think will be Wednesday will be a co-host show, whether, like I said, a player or a fan. And then, Sunday will be kind of a solo episode. So that's going forward here in the new year. That's kind of the ambition anyway. having said all that, yeah, so, well, and then, well, and it, okay. Saturday, I actually tried to upload the episode. It wasn't really working. So I was just like, okay, well, forget it. I'll wait and upload it on Wednesday. And, you know, and we can all come up with a Sunday episode later. So, everything's just been up in the air and a mess. So, yeah, guys, there's my tale of my late December, mid-December to now. That's kind of work has been all over the place, and a lot of moving around, a lot of hour changes and shift changes, and I'm happy to be back. Like I said, it's been how long have I been? 16 years, I guess, I've been at this job. And one of those, I guess, when you move around and you talk to people and you actually try different things, you kind of look back and it's, yeah, you know, maybe I was in a good spot. And, it just takes you moving around to recognize it. So, no, I'm back in the saddle and enjoying it. And I'm happy. I'm good. And for now, I'm staying here, and we'll see. Like I said, never say never. There's lots of opportunities. There's lots of different departments. And, as I get older, I got 10 years to go. And 11 maybe. I guess 11 would put me at 60. So 11 years to go. And then hopefully can ride off into the sunset. But in the meantime, we'll see what opportunities come up. But for now, I'm back home. I'm back playing in garbage. So that's okay. But anyway, I'm sure everybody's like, none of us give a fuck. So there we go. Well, before I get into yapping with Jay here, we get that going. The update with Daniel Ainsbury, like I said, Jay and I were talking about why isn't anybody signing him. Well, he has signed. In fact, he has actually signed with the Fort Wayne, easy for you to say, the Fort Wayne Comets in the East Coast League. The East Coast League is going to honor the Federal League 18-game suspension, which is he only has a few games left anyway. He is eligible to come back, I believe it's February 3rd against Cincinnati. But here we go, folks, already out of this. This will be something to see. February 7th, Fort Wayne is in Kansas City. And who is in Kansas City but none other than Ryan Devine? The Ice Wars 3 champion is going to face the Ice Wars 1 champion on February 7th in Kansas City. So we could see an Ainsbury-Devine showdown, and I am all for it. It's going to be interesting to see. I want to see what, like all of us, I want to see how Ainsbury does in a step up in competition. Nothing against the Fed guys or anything like that, but they're, the East Coast League is where it's at, boy. And, Ryan Devine, Anthony Collins, Kyle Neuber, Darian Skiho, Nico Blatchman, on and on. There's some tough dudes in the East Coast League, and Amesbury's going to want to make a name for himself. And after 18 game suspension, he is definitely well rested. I believe this weekend, of all things, he has a Rough and Rowdy. He has another boxing match coming up in Rough and Rowdy here at the end of the week. So he's got that, and then he's packing up and heading to Fort Wayne. So, Rough and Rowdy, and then be suiting up with the Fort Wayne Comets. So Ainsbury will be a busy dude. So good luck to Daniel Ainsbury, and looking forward to see what he can do in the East Coast League. Happy to hear that he signed. I cannot believe a team in the Southern Pro League did not sign him. Maybe one of them tried, but he had the East Coast League offer first. I don't know. I'm not his agent. I have no idea how it went. Even at the beginning of the year, like Jay and I were saying, how does a Southern Pro League team not bring him in anyway? Whatever. Okay. But in other news, I'll tie this all in, but Terry Ryan, 47-year-old Terry Ryan suits up with the Newfoundland Growlers of the East Coast League. They have his local team out there in the Maritimes. They had a lot of sickness. The flu or whatever went right through the team, and they were short a lot of guys. And I guess they kind of asked Terry the night before, hey, man, can you suit up for us? And he was a little apprehensive, but he said yes, for sure. And I mean, again, at the end of the day, it's the minors. You're going to go for the promotion. So, I mean, you know, Terry Ryan, you know, publicity for sure. Asses in seats. Ted Hitchcock from the Jersey. You know, and of course it's the Maritimes where Terry Ryan's kind of a local legend, you know, obviously a former first round pick of the Montreal Canadiens. And, people listening to this show obviously know Terry Ryan. Well, Terry Ryan's on the network with his podcast. So, you know, people listening to this show know who Terry Ryan is. So it was great. Terry got out there. I mentioned it on my last episode that, it was the night that he was, I recorded it the day that he was going to play that night. And I said, you watch, Terry will drop the gloves. Well, sure as shit, Terry did drop the gloves and had a little go. And, you know, short and sweet, kind of got wrestled down. But, you know, he did drop the gloves, picked up the instigator call. Attaboy, TR at 47 years old, fighting somebody half his age. But yeah, it took a few shifts and good on him. 47 years old, getting out there and still chasing it around. So, you know, and he mentioned it in a bunch of his interviews, but, I think the really cool thing is his young daughter got to see him play pro. Cause last time he played pro, obviously she wasn't born yet. So, he said that was a real big deciding factor for him to go do it. And, you know, and he was obviously nervous. You don't want to embarrass yourself when you go out there. And I mean, a lot of people viewed it as a publicity stunt and there was probably some truth to that. But at the same time, you know, I don't care how old you are. If you're an athlete, you're an athlete, and especially a former elite level athlete. No one wants to go be a clown. You know, you want to, you know, as much as you recognize what it is, you do want to play well. And it is the East Coast League. It's a regular season game. This isn't preseason or anything like it, you know, points mattered. And, you know, unfortunately Newfoundland didn't pick up the W, but, you know, I know Terry was real serious on playing well and, you know, didn't get a lot of shifts, but, when he did, he made the most of them. Like I said, picked up the instigator call and dropped the gloves late in the third when it was 6-2, but, cause the captain got hit and Terry went in like, old habits die hard, right? You see your teammate down, you're going to go in. And he did. So good on him. So good job, TR. And Terry and I have talked and, you know, I'm going to get him on. Well, right now, like you said, he's getting 10,000, you know, a podcast requests and everything else. So, but he actually, we had talked, we were actually talking about a completely different matter, actually. And he did say that, anytime I wanted to get him on, he will gladly do that, jump on. So, I told him, well, we'll kind of maybe do maybe your five toughest opponents and then we'll talk about Shorzy and then the latest, this latest deal. But, you know, we'll do all that in a couple weeks here. Maybe when I get back from Vegas and stuff, I said, you go be famous on Spit and Chiglets again and Roenick's podcast. And, you know, you go do all the big shows. And then, you know, when you feel like slumming, you can come to my show. So, but, we'll do that at a later date. Yeah, other than that, guys, the only thing I really wanted to talk about, I mean, I guess I'll save my other rants for Sunday's episode, but no, the only thing I kind of found disappointing was just the, well, I mean, not surprising, of course, social media response for the most part, we'll talk about Terry, most of it was positive, but every once in a while you get a few donkeys in there that, you know, whether they got I don't know if they have some personal axe to grind with Terry Ryan or something, or, I mean, I guess, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be haters out there. I know that's kind of a cliche term, but it's true. I mean, there's always someone looking to shit on you, and, I don't understand it. I mean, like you said, he did it for his daughter and you know, give it a kick and, you know, I mean, why shit on the guy for it? Like I said, 98% of the replies that I saw were positive, but there's always a few donkeys and he got his ass kicked. Well, first of all, he didn't. Terry himself will probably say he didn't win the fight. I wouldn't say he lost it either. Personally, I think the guy kind of just grabbed him, wrestled him down actually, but, you know, whatever, but okay. He's 47 years old fighting a 25 year old and you're shitting on him. Like, okay. Like people are just goofy. So, I mean, whatever. And then the Amesbury thing. I mean, I just laugh at these people that just think like, oh, he's just out to purposely hurt people. It's like, what? Like, Why? Well, look at all the suspensions he's gotten. Well, yeah, have you seen what they're suspending him for? Have you seen today's hockey? Like, clearly it's, you know, there's an axe to grind there with the league and Amesbury. And like you said, halfway through a suspension, all of a sudden they have some emergency meeting and all of a sudden it's like, ah, yeah, you know what? We're just going to ban him. What? Like, oh, yeah. So you let him sit for 9 games then or 10 games and it's just like, okay, yeah, we're going to ban him now. Like, so gutless. I mean, you know, and then... So I'm pumped that he's up in the East Coast League. I hope it works out for him. I mean, if I see one more person crying about goons and all this, it's like you have no idea what a goon is. Look at you. You're like 22 years old. You've never seen a goon in your life, believe me. You know, just, yeah, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, so, I mean, the Amesbury thing. And the only thing that was kind of, that I found kind of disappointing with the Amesbury stuff was a lot of it was actually some former players and former tough guys kind of bitching about him. And which I found kind of, to be completely honest, hypocritical, to be honest. You know, I called him on it online and I was just, you know, not that we were yelling back and forth at each other, but I just kind of said to a couple of them, I'm like, you know, they're kind of shitting, oh, he doesn't belong in hockey and everything. And I'm like, well, what's he doing that you didn't do 25 years ago? Well, I'd like to think when we did it, you know, we did it for the right reasons and all. Well, okay. I mean, some of these guys, I guess we all have sort of bouts of revisionist history, but it's like, dude, I was there at Sass Place watching you play. You did the same shit he's doing. The only difference was you weren't mic'd up and there wasn't social media. So you watch these Amesbury mic'd up videos. I'm pretty sure you were probably saying the same thing 25 years ago when you skated into piles and stuff. Oh, yeah, but this whole baddest man of hockey and all this. Well, last time I checked, I didn't see Daniel Amesbury saying he was the baddest man in hockey. That was like the Danbury media groups and these, you know, the guy that follows Danbury around that makes the mic'd up videos and stuff. And the Ice Wars was building him up because you're trying to sell pay-per-views. It's funny when the UFC guys do it, it's real badass, but, you know, anyway. We'll get into that on Sunday. Eye rolling. But unless I'm mistaken, I mean, I've sat in Edmonton hotel lobbies with Daniel Amesbury, and he certainly wasn't telling me how he's the baddest man in hockey. He was cool with me. I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed him at Ice Wars. He's been on my show. I don't get it. But at the end of the day, I'm like... There's so few tough guys out there. I mean, and we're going to shit on the ones that are doing it. So essentially I said to these guys, so you're mad at Amesbury because he's mean. Oh yeah. Like I wasn't, again, I've always said with the enforcer thing, isn't that the point? I mean, I know at this point, well, most people have lost the plot. I didn't think actually retired enforcers would lose the plot, but maybe I'm getting older and I don't, well, okay, I get it if you have kids playing and stuff and you don't want them to fight because you did I get all that. I completely understand that. At the same time, I don't know why, for the few guys that are still trying to do it, I don't know why you would shit on them for, like I said, doing the same thing you did 25 years earlier. Well, he's got 300 minutes and 29 games. He's not even a hockey player. Oh, yeah, but if this is 1997, those 300 penalty minutes would be like 152. Have you seen the way they call penalties now? And they look at, the refs look at him like he's the boogeyman. They're throwing tens at him like it's candy. So, I mean, come on. Really, like, do you think he really earned all those 300 penalty minutes? Like, obviously not, you know, but right now, like you said, he sticks out like a spare prick at the wedding because it's like he's the only guy, right? Oh, well, he goes around and he bullies people. Oh, fuck. Well, again, I thought that was the point. At least it used to be. So, again, it all comes down to people. I've said this when I say Jay and I can't remember, we rattle on about Amesbury for a while, but it's like, yeah, and I probably say this in the episode. I can't remember what I was talking about with Jay about it specifically, but I'm sure it was something along the lines of, basically, where everyone's mad at him because he's mean and he's a bully. Oh, well, okay. That's sort of the point, I thought, but I guess not, even now. But like I said, I understand when it's like, you know, whatever, Peoria fan 78 doesn't like him. Yeah, okay, whatever, I get it, or whatever. But when it's an ex-t- tough guy. It was a little disheartening, to say the least. Now, and again, that's your opinion. I'm not saying, you know, I mean, I get, on one hand, I get what you're saying. I just find it, you know, it's like when, former, like, LaRock and these guys come out and kind of shit on fighting. It's like, but it was okay for you, though. But now, apparently, no one new can do it, you know, and it's just kind of, Not to say that, like I said, I understand, you know, the dangers of fighting. People are going through stuff now after their career of doing it. I get all that and wanting to clean it up and stuff. Okay. But, I don't know. I just find it, hypocritical. That's all I'm going to say about that. But, oh, and the whole UFC thing and all that and from Toronto and Strickland and all that stuff. I'll talk about that on Sunday if I feel like it. I don't know. I might be busy and then I'll be, hold on. I got to look under the desk here. You know, I'm just, don't mind me. I'm looking for my freedom. God. Stop listening to the con, folks. Grifting. Ugh. Anyway, we'll get into that whole eye-rolling thing. No professionalism anymore. I don't know. From swearing at City Hall with after you win the Stanley Cup to UFC press conferences to, I don't know. And it has nothing to do with what was said. It was more just the way it was delivered. And I don't know. I just... Can anybody be classy anymore? Is that... Again, I guess I'm old and I'm showing my age. I mean, I don't know. Can we just... Oh, and if I see another weigh-in when, okay, hold me back and we're going to push and, oh, hold on. Like, just this built-up phony drama. Like, oh, because we got to sell the paper. I mean, I get it, but it's just so old and so overdone. Because as soon as the fight's done, oh, you can't wait to jump in each other's arms. You know, meanwhile, you're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at each other in the weigh-ins and calling each other's mom's names and everything else. And then as soon as it's over, oh, I love you, brother. It's like, oh, God. I don't know. I just can't. I get, just fight. That's all. I don't know. That's just me. I just want to see you as experts in your field, in your craft, in the art of combat. Just do that. Be professionals. Go out and fight. When it's done, good fight, good fight. One, somebody's arm's getting raised and there we go. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm old and boring, but I'm just about the competition. I don't need to see the pageantry. I get why there's pageantry, but somebody's got to come up with a new gimmick, man. Because this stuff is just old as shit. I don't know. But the Rubes love it, I guess. And, you know, whatever. So I'll talk about that on Sunday. Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, it's been a half an hour of me yapping and whatever. I don't know what I'm saying at this point, but how about we just get into it? We'll do a little sponsor here, and then here's my conversation with Jay about the halfway mark of the Southern Pro League. And, yeah, guys, it's good to be back here on Wednesday. And, yes, hopefully, I would like to think, I'll talk to you guys on Sunday. Thanks, everybody.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Seattle and Pittsburgh, big matchup. Seattle's been hot, 5-game winning streak. You can get them at +120. Another one, if you're into player props or game team props, the Canucks, first goal, -150, something to look at as they play Columbus Blue Jackets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, that's code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-6369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, here on the Fourth Line Voice on episode 354. I'm skipping the intro, folks. I'm skipping everything. We're going right to the main event here. No, we're just going... Oh, I screwed this up. I've already screwed the intro up. Anyway, I have Jay from the Quad City area. We're going to do I guess at this point it's the halfway mark of the Southern Pro League. Jay, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Darren. How you doing up there in Saskatchewan?
Very good. It was actually, a little warmer today. It was only minus 25, so it beats the minus 51. I know. When I was thinking of it's almost shorts weather here. So after our minus 51 days here. So, but I can't complain because it's actually November, December. We're unseasonably warm for, we actually had a brown Christmas here in Saskatchewan.
We actually had a green Christmas down here, and then Mother Nature decided to dump 2 feet of snow on us here in the last week and a half. It was pretty, pretty fun times.
Yeah, which is pretty wild because even considering as cold as it is and everything here, you guys actually have more snow than we do. We haven't had that. We got snow, but not as amount as you guys did. So, yeah, it's been, right now it's the same old winter in Saskatchewan, but with the temperatures. But we don't actually have too much snow, so only had to shovel it a couple times.
As I showed you, our exceedingly long driveway, the snowblower decided to not participate in either snow. So I had to shovel it by hand, and it was a good time.
Yeah, that's quite the driveway there, you know, pulling up to Jay Manor and, I can't
close to the road.
Well, I was going to say, looking at that whole out, the driveway and the house, everything there, it's like you couldn't have had one of the servants do it? Like, one of the higher
help? Usually give them the month of January off because we're benevolent leaders.
There you go. There you go. Well, you're the guy that I want to talk to for today's show. We're going to, like I said, I always say Alec is my East Coast hookup, and you are my Southern Pro League hookup. And we kind of did a preseason Southern Pro League preview of a few episodes ago. I don't know how many episodes ago, but it was a while ago. And, and that was met with some interest, maybe some of it feigning, but it was some interest nonetheless.
I'd say mixed reviews.
Yeah, you know, whatever. As long as they're talking about us, big in China. So they are, you know, for some reason. Number four in China, folks, with a bullet.
Yeah, that's not a dirty joke, folks. It's true. The Fourth Line Voice is currently the fourth highest rated hockey podcast in China. There's nothing dirty about that joke.
No, the Apple iTunes, the charts don't lie. Well, there's probably a little kabuki-ish going on, a little bit of it. But still, nonetheless, it's just nice to be nominated. Nice to be thought of, anyway. So, yeah, a few jokers over there teaching English apparently are listening to the Fourth Line Voice. Because other than that, I don't know too many of the Chinese folks tuning in. But thank you, nonetheless.
So, it's where they learn all the dirty words.
Exactly. Yep. But, like I said, so at the top of the show, we're going to kind of, we're at the halfway mark of the Southern Pro League. So, I figured I'd get you on and, we could talk about, who's been hot, who's not, surprises, letdowns, suspensions, fights, and all that sort of talk. But before we get into that, and Jay, of course, lives in the Quad City area. He's a season ticket holder. He's right down on the glass, you know. And so he is front row center to this, so he's not just talking out his ass. He actually.
Well, when you get old like me, Darren, you got to be close to the ice because you just can't see as far.
I know. That's what happens with old age. But, you know, you're right down there in the glass. You see it all. So Jay knows what's going on here. And he also has a YouTube channel, D Skunk, and he's uploading all these Southern Pro League fights. So if you want to see. What he and I are going to talk about tonight, go to that channel. It's all there. I'm telling you, this is the guy for the Southern Pro League.
Appreciate you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's a labor of love.
Exactly. And no, you do a bang up job. And so for those, like I said, D Skunk on YouTube, subscribe. like the video. Hit that. No, what is it? Smash that like button, as the influencers say. So
yeah, smash that subscribe button. That's how we get our checks from YouTube that neither one of us get anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah. But someday, maybe. Someday. But before we do all that, I'm going to hit you with something. I didn't tell Jay I was going to do this. I'm going to lay this on him because I want to get his honest reaction to it. Because it's not that surprising because I talked to Alec about it in his episode too. With the announcement, because I know I've had Jay on the show numerous times, and it was always when we did the Ice Wars preview shows and the review shows. We had them on, and people really enjoyed those when I had you and Alec on, and we broke it all down. Well, of course, the last couple of weeks, AJ Galante has announced that he is starting his version of the Ice Wars tournament. It's going to be called the Major League Hockey Fights. And with Daniel Amesbury, him and Daniel are going to put this together. What are your feelings on this? What are your thoughts on the Major League Hockey Fights?
I got to tell you, buddy, I think it's fantastic. I can't get enough of Ice Wars. I wish they would do an Ice Wars type of event quarterly. So I am hoping that the collaboration between Amesbury and Galante, they can get something going where it's a regular basis. They can get it in front of as many eyes as they can. They can get it snowballing and turn it into something big.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. And, of course, AJ was involved. He was one of the co-creators of Ice Wars, him and Charlie Nama. And, of course, unfortunately, they had a falling out or whatever happened there. I don't know. I'm not going to ask. But whatever happened, they split apart, and Charlie took the Ice Wars name. And he put on one event since then, the Ice Wars 3 in Wyoming, that was won by Ryan Devine, speaking of the Southern Pro League, last year's champ, won the Ice Wars 3 tournament. But I will
break in here just to say there was somebody on the preview show who said if possible he would mortgage his house to bet on Ryan Devine to win Ice Wars.
And there's someone else on this show that did bet on Ryan Devine to win Ice Wars and made a profit. I've turned a profit on these betting on these Ice Wars tournaments.
Why can't I down in the States I can bet on Uzbekistani table tennis. I know because I have, because I'm degenerate.
Yep.
But I could not bet on Ice Wars.
Yeah.
You could. That still bothers me a little bit. I still harbor a little animosity towards you for that.
Well, yeah, and it's too bad because, of course, it was on spreads.ca. I don't know if I should be dropping the name, seeing as this show is sponsored by DraftKings. But apparently they had their affiliate through spreads.ca, a site in Ontario, that is apparently only available clearly to bet on in Canada and not in the United States, which I would say as a sports book or as a gambling site, would you not want to be worldwide? I don't know why you'd want to just be in Canada, but.
Well, so. I imagine that book is kind of akin to the casino from National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation. Mm-hmm. Where they're going there, it's like guess the number and like they're playing war.
Yeah.
That's what I equate it to.
Well, I can tell you I've had an account at Spreads because obviously I had the Ice Wars because I wanted to bet on the Ice Wars stuff. And of course I've since, as much as I turned a profit on the Ice Wars betting and did really well, that money is completely gone because of course you got to buy some NFL parlays and everything else that quickly ate up the profits. So it wasn't like I was withdrawing any cash out of it. So they definitely got my money. But no, it would be cool. DraftKings, are you listening? If DraftKings maybe jump in and do the Major League Hockey Fight tournament.
I would go, I would max out my bets on that. I could bring up my DraftKings book right now and tell you all the ridiculous things you can bet on, but not Ice Wars or Major League Hockey Fights.
Yeah. So, yeah, so hopefully AJ can do that, and when they come out with it, they get them to sponsor it, and you can bet on it, because that would be cool. Because I'm pretty sure, like, even if the Spreads kind of sponsorship with Ice Wars was AJ's idea, I'm pretty sure Spreads would not, like, sponsor them as well as Ice Wars. Or maybe they would, I don't know, but... they might have like an agreement that we can only kind of sponsor one of you. So,
well, DraftKings is not available in Canada, is it?
I got to look into that. I know, well, I think their fantasy part was, but I don't know if the gambling part is.
Well, there you go. You got a book in Canada, a book in the United States. I mean, for God's sakes, I just brought it up. I can bet on the World Hi-Li League.
There you go.
And I cannot bet on Ice Wars. Yep. Figure it out, boys.
Yep. Yeah, because like even Alec was saying, and I mean, we brought this up a few times, like with our predictions on our preview shows, we were pretty much bang on all of them. Not to toot our own horns, but toot, you know.
And in case you're wondering, I am putting I'm putting $20 on the Cyclones to win the World Hi-Li League, just so you know.
Well, hey, they've looked sharp this season. You can't beat a good Hi-Li parlay, I've always said. So,
This is the only hockey podcast show where you will get the best Hi-Li predictions for your DraftKings sportsbook.
There you go. Use promo code THPN. Yeah. Why do you think we're number four in China for this type of action, folks? So there we go. Well, now it's 10 minutes in. We've completely lost all our listeners. So, all right. Well, you and I
are you kidding me? Hi-Li is going to bring them in. It's huge in South Florida, buddy.
I know. Actually, I've. That's a pretty...
One thing the wife didn't let me do last time we were down there is I wanted to go to see live Hi-Li and bet on it. And she said, no, it's evidently sitting on the beach is more important.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I watched... This is a while ago, but I remember watching like a little documentary on like Hi-Li on YouTube one day or something. I can't remember how it came up. It was part of something. And it, at one time, like in the 80s and shit, it was massive. Like there was like they'd get tons of people at the games and stuff in Florida.
Well, it's a big deal. Okay, we should probably stop the Hi-Li talk because they're starting to turn over to 31 Thoughts or whatever it is, and we don't want to.
I guess, but I would like to say the people that tune into this show, are cultured folks and enjoy all the meats of the cultural stew. So they're enjoying.
You do have fans. They're very worldly fans, and that's what I appreciate about your show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not only are they worldly, but they're also attractive.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not so sure about the guests, but the listeners, are, you know, we'll see.
Hey,
there's a video. There's a reason.
The radio too.
There's a reason this show hasn't gone to video. You know, fuck.
Like my mama always said, I got a face for radio.
Exactly. Yep. But, all right, well, so the Major League fight, I can't wait for it, and when it gets announced, folks, I can guarantee there's going to be a preview show. And I'm going to get AJ on the show here shortly, and we can talk all about it. But, and of course, his partner there, Daniel Amesbury, he's going to figure into our Southern Pro conversation here shortly. But to start things off, like I said, we're at about the halfway mark of the league. You know, 30 games in, a little more than a couple games over halfway. What are your thoughts so far? Who are the big bad bullies of the Southern Pro League this year?
I gotta tell you, it's every time I kind of think about, well, maybe this is the kind of last hurrah of tough hockey. I watch some Southern League games and I just fall in love with it every time I watch a tough game, because it's as close as you're going to get to the old school. And there's still plenty of guys who are willing to drop the gloves. I actually went through my dedication to you and your listeners, Darren. I went through all of the game sheets this year. There are 113 guys with at least one fight this year.
Yep.
And I don't know that you're going to get 100 guys in the NHL that are going to be dropping the gloves all year long.
No.
And you were talking like 27 to 30 games. But as far as the fighters, I think, in my humble opinion, I think the guy who has kind of picking up the vacant crown from departed Ryan Devine is a guy in Pensacola named Sean Gulka. Not only does he lead the league with 8 fights, but I think he's been the most impressive every time he's dropped the gloves out there. But, I mean, they're still, you got a guy, Spencer Kennedy started the year up in the coast. He since came back, although he was just called back up to the coast yesterday. He came back to the Southern League. He's only dropped the gloves four or five times. He's looked good. A young kid in Peoria named Tristan Trudell, who's the son of their head coach, he's looked pretty good when he's dropped the gloves. There's a lot of guys who just give her hell when they go. The thing about the Southern League is in the East Coast League, you still have some of those massive, bordering on super heavyweight guys. But you don't have a whole lot of those guys down here in the Southern League. Aside from aforementioned Spencer Kennedy at 6'6", 6'7", your bigger guys are topping out at 6'3", maybe a couple at 6'4". But a lot of the guys are just over 6 foot, and they give them hell when they go. It's fun as hell to watch those little guys go.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned Sean Galka. I believe he has been called up to the East Coast League, has he not?
If he was, I missed it. I did see that he just got put back on IR a few days ago. Yeah, so he's leading the league with 8 fights, and he's been to the second stint on IR. So in a healthy season to this point, I'm guessing he'd be over 10 fights. But, I mean, you got guys like the Leonard brothers, Sean and Steven Leonard, together they're what they have. Steven has 5, Sean has 4 fights. Sasha Waugh down in Macon, he's got 5 fights. There's a smaller guy in Evansville who I know I got to send you a few of his videos. His name was Matthew Hobbs. He's a smaller guy, right at 6 foot, not even 200 pounds, but he gives them hell every time. He's got 5 fights. A guy here in Quad City named Mike Moran, he and Hobbs have actually gone twice right off the hop, which you don't see a whole hell of a lot nowadays. He's fun to watch, but I could literally go on and on all night about guys who are fun to watch.
Well, and just throw this out there, the Southern Pro League does not have a fight limit, right?
They do not have a fight limit, and they also do not have a instigator misconduct.
So there you go, folks.
So you'll get 2 for instigating and 5 for fighting, but you don't get a misconduct. You're back out there in 10 minutes, 7 minutes. And I believe they do have a game misconduct for the 3rd fight, but I haven't seen that come into play yet this year.
Wow. Well, there you go. At least some league has the right idea, but... Okay, well, paint the picture here for like I said, I got the folks that listen. I got some guys that are mostly NHL guys or American League guys. They don't follow the Southern Pro League. As a season ticket holder in Quad City for many years, and you go back to the old UHL, the old Colonial League days. So, I mean, Jay's not some new age fan that, you know, he's been around. So he's seen the Varhogs and the Melnichuks and everything else. So you can put this into context for people. So if you go to Quad Cities and you're sitting along the glass for a game in 2024, what are we seeing? Like, in terms of how do you, I mean, obviously it's not the United League from 1997. I mean, I know that, but in terms of just all these years that you've been going to hockey, I mean, cause I rant and rave on here every week about how soft as shit everything is and blah, blah, blah. What's your take on the Southern Pro League for 2023-24? Is it as soft as shit as everyone says it is? Or like as
is it? I would say it is as close. It is a watered down 2023-2024 version of the old United League. It's as close as you're going to get to that in this hockey environment. I'd say every second or third shift, somebody's catching a stick, somebody's getting a little face rub. There's a lot of greasy guys out there. There's not the amount of guys who would go out there and call them out on the carpet, which is why there's so many of those little ratty guys. I don't say that negatively at all. I love those little rad guys.
Yep.
But each team seems to have two or three of those guys, but they're not, you know, there's it's 2024, so there's nobody out there forcing them to drop the glove so they can run around a little bit. But there's a lot of that greasy behind the play stuff, especially because the Southern League is the, I believe, the only pro league, including the federal league, that only has one ref.
No,
so there's
yeah,
a lot
right.
of stuff behind the play, quite
yeah.
a bit,
yeah.
and it's—I'd say it's fun to watch. It's not. This is the first year I saw an East Coast League game in years, and it was awful. It was the skill. I'd say there's a decent skill gap between the East Coast League and the Southern League in that the kind of third line-ish guys in the Southern League would have a really hard time playing in the Coast. But I think the top two forward lines, probably top three defensemen, they could probably play a pretty regular shift in the Coast. But as far as physicality, I mean, it was a boring game. And my wife and I were on the glass in Iowa for an Iowa-Kalamazoo game. And it was awful. If that was the product out there every game in Quad City, I would not be paying what I do to sit on the glass.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, speaking of which, for the folks that don't know, like, because I mean, I know you've been around the Southern Pro League and been to most of the rinks and all that. In terms of and like tickets and stuff, how about what's a ticket? What's the cost to go to a Southern? Not your fat whacker seats where you're sitting, but for the poor people, you know, what are they paying to get in to see these Quad City Storm play?
I mean, honestly, you can get a pretty decent seat in a lot of arenas for $15-$20.
Yeah.
And I know here in Quad City, they have deals with two or three employers in the area and a credit union in the area, where if you work for, you know, X, Y, and Z, or if you bank at U, you just show your work ID or your membership card. You get buy one, get one free seats all season long.
Now, in terms of Quad City, like the arena there, what can the building hold? What can the building hold, and how many do they get?
So, there's curtains in the upper bowl. With the curtains drawn, I want to say it's right around $5,000. And they're pulling in just over $3,000 a game, I want to say. It's a lot more exciting as far as the fan interaction than it has been in a while, especially at the end of the East Coast League years, because it seems like there's a lot of, it's not the same, you know, 1,500 people. It seems to be a lot of kind of transient people coming to one or two games a year, just a lot more of them from a broader area. And I know here locally, the front office has done a great job in kind of doing a different promotion every game to try to bring in those kind of tertiary or casual people who don't go to a hockey game, and they see, oh, you know, we can get buy one, get one free tickets because we bank here. Let's go, you know, give it a try.
Yeah. Well, you had the Kiss night there, the promotional night.
Sorry, I dropped my phone. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, the promo night with Kiss, the Kiss promo night.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Well, yeah, the rock and roll night. I think I sent you a puck from that night.
Yes, you did.
They had the Quad City brought in, it was rock and roll night, and they brought in Mini Kiss, the Little People Kiss cover band.
Tremendous. Yeah.
To do an after show concert.
How were they? Was it good?
I don't want to admit this. You're going to be angry at me.
You
but
leave,
I did,
did
not
you?
Stay. I did not stay.
How did you not stay to watch the little person Gene Simmons? Are you serious?
I did not stay. There was extenuating circumstances, and I chose to be elsewhere after the game.
There you go. Well, as far as the promo goes, I mean, you know, I always hear about the minor leagues back in the day. It was like 50-cent draft night and shit. Do they still do that kind of stuff?
They do. They still have Dollar Beer Night.
There you go.
I think there's four or five of them here in Quad City. I'll be honest. I don't know. There's at least three or four. And it's not just your cheap drafts either. I mean, you get, you know, an actual 12 or 16 ounce can of beer for a buck.
See, there you go, folks.
I sent you a couple pictures. I had a few Bush lattes for the Mud Show down there in Tennessee or North Carolina or Mississippi or Alabama or wherever the hell he is now.
It's wherever the wheels stop turning is where the house sits. Yeah,
I suspect that he is actually on the run from some swamp mafia in Florida.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And every time they figure out where he lives, he's got to move.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Alec isn't even his real name. Yep.
He poached some gators from the wrong clan.
Yep.
And they're tracking him down. And Cletus McFarland, or whatever his actual name is, they figured him out again, so now he's got to go.
The fact that I think his wearing of the Crocs just finally upset the wrong person. And this is what happens. You end up on the run. Yeah.
Although I will say when we recorded the show live from Casa de Lugan here, he showed up wearing his cowboy boots. I'm like, I almost couldn't let him in the house with him.
Oh yeah, old Dusty and his shit kickers there. Yeah. Yeah. But there you go. Well, we don't even get into that.
Talking when they come up here next month, we'll give you a call at a game, and it'll be a real shit show.
Oh, there you go. There's an episode in itself right there. Yeah. Those two, geniuses at the rinkside, with his Crocs on. Oh, yeah, that's what
I want. The question will be, what will be higher, the combined IQs or the empty cans on the table?
It'll be a pyramid of some sort, yeah. Well, we said before, like you said last year, we were talking when we had the Southern Pro League in the finale show last year. You know, Ryan Devine was sort of, you crowned him the undisputed heavyweight champion of the Southern Pro League. Or you kind of mentioned Galka here today. Is there anybody that's kind of like if it was just the guy in the league, is there anybody like that yet? Or is it pretty much kind of the fighters can kind of all sort of beat each other? There hasn't been any.
I would say it's pretty wide open at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say there isn't a clear cut number one like last year.
Nope. Like I talked about before, I like that Spencer Kennedy kid an awful lot. But I mentioned in the wrap-up show last year, he reminds me a lot of a young Mike Varhaug. Where, to steal a line from you, he's a puppy with big paws.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't quite got it all dialed in yet. For instance, he fought a guy from Quad City, Mike Moran is his name. Moran was giving up 5-6 inches, probably 30 to 40 pounds. And Moran is far from a technical fighter. He likes to wing him. But he held his own against Kennedy. And if Kennedy's got two or three more years experience behind him, I don't think it's even close. So I think there's still a pretty good argument to be had for anybody to kind of pull away here at the halfway point.
Yeah.
But then you get a guy like Justin Portillo, who I love to watch him play hockey. Oh, plays it as close to old school as he can. But I mean, he's not really going to get a chance to.
Well, I was going to say, no one's going to be watching him play hockey now. Of course, the latest suspension, he got it for leaving the bench, correct?
Yes, which I did not. I actually watched that video for the first time today. That was that was a horseshit suspension.
Yep.
When I see a suspension for somebody leaving the bench, I expect to see him, flying off the bench, shedding the mitts, and jumping right into it. There was an issue that happened, and Portillo came off. It was a stoppage of play. Portillo came on the ice during the stoppage of play for a line change, and then kind of went after one of the guys from Roanoke, and they went from there. But it's not like he came off the ice and made a beeline for somebody on the other end of the ice. And giving him 18 games for it is that's ridiculous.
Well, and going back to the previous Amesbury, we talked about that. Well, we'll get into that in a second. It's funny because I see these suspensions that they hand out, and then you go and read the comments online, Well, if you don't see the video and you're just reading the online comments, like I said, you think this guy's Jeffrey Dahmer on skates here, the way these people talk. Like, they've never seen anything like this before. Like, he's a serial killer. We need to get him out of here. And then you go and watch the video. And like I said, maybe it's old 48-year-old me, and I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and Kerry Toporowski and Gary Kupal and guys like that. I'm watching this shit, and this is Sunday school, what I'm watching.
Yeah, it's... It puts me at a loss for words. Because, I mean, so he went after, I don't know what set it off, he went after a guy named Dominic Marcinkiewicz, who, I mean, he's a little dude, but Portillo is not going to go out there and go after somebody as aggressively as he did without cause. Yes. He's not that kind of, I mean, he's a tough guy. We discussed it before, what a real enforcer is. There's no such thing anymore. But, I mean, he's not going to go out there and put his team down and will put himself at risk of a 20-game suspension without cause.
Yeah.
He didn't hurt the guy. He was giving him gloved punches to, like, the side and the back. And even when he got suspended for it at the start of the year, he went, he had a fight with a guy, dropped him with one punch. Somebody else from the opposite team came after him, and he grabbed the other guy and put him down too, and he got suspended for that.
Yeah. Oh, I can remember going online and saying, we're suspending guys for winning fights now.
Yeah. And that's, people get all up in arms for that. They would be running out of the building screaming if they would see what an average Tuesday night was in the old United League.
Yeah.
Well, you got Mel Engelstad and Kevin Holiday and Kerry Toporowski, and how much time do you have? I can name off 30 guys right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And it's like, well, and that's the other thing in these Facebook groups and everything else. Of course, the guy's the biggest piece of shit ever, unless he's on their team.
Oh, yeah.
Then they defend him to the end of the earth. It's like, well, so you can't take any of that shit seriously. But it's like, yeah, I've watched the two things he got suspended for, and it's like, I'm literally, and again, I guess I'm from the, I have no dog in this fight. I'm not a fan of any of these teams. I couldn't pick Justin Portillo out of a police lineup. It doesn't mean anything to me. I am strictly watching, you're getting that unabashed view of when I watch these videos, unbiased, and I can't see any suspension in any of this.
No, that's the thing. It's not even like, well, should he have gotten 10 games or 18 games? He should have gotten no games.
No. At most, a game misconduct, and let's get on with our lives. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see a game misconduct for fighting like before the puck was dropped.
Yep.
Because, I mean, even going back to the East Coast League years ago, it might have been Central League back then, Gabriel Boutin-Gagnon was here, he fought before the puck dropped and got a game misconduct. So that's going back, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I could see a game misconduct. But I wouldn't even suspend him for a game. And then because of that, that suspension cost him his job because he was just released from Knoxville.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, he was in Vermilion County last year, the team that folded halfway through the year. He wore the C in Vermilion County, and he was one of the assistant captains in Knoxville. So, I mean, he's obviously a guy who brings something to the team.
Yeah.
And he's not just some meathead out there. And he can play a regular shift in this league. He wasn't one of these, three, four-minute guys.
Yep. No, and it's like, and I don't know if these leagues now are just getting so, well, like I said, so basically, give them a long enough suspension, it's like, oh, well, if we'll give them a long enough suspension, these teams will just cut them, which they did. So, okay, well, there, he got them out of the league now. And it's like the same thing with the Federal League, to go now to talk to this Daniel Ainsbury. They gave him 18 games, and then halfway through the suspension, oh, actually, we have a league meeting, and we're actually going to ban him from the league now. What? Like, oh, yeah. So now Daniel Ainsbury is banned from the Federal League. Okay.
Well, I remember when that first happened, I sent you and Alec the clip. And I said, you got to watch close. But I don't even think that was a two-minute penalty. I think it's horrible what happened to the other guy. He obviously fell wrong or hit his head wrong, and what happened to him is awful. You don't want to see that at all. But it was unfortunate that it happened like that, but it was not through an overly aggressive hit or through any act of brutality.
No, and anybody that comes that gets a hold of me after listening to this and cries to me that, as I'm not going to say who said it to me today, oh, it was a flying forearm. I'm like, no, this isn't WWE. It was not a flying forearm. I don't know what fight you're or what hit you're watching, but of course, I've noticed this particular person seems to have an axe to grind with Daniel Amesbury. So everything he does is, again, he's the boogeyman and the scariest person ever. My question to you would be, I would love to see a Southern Pro League team pick Amesbury up. And how do you think he would fare in the Southern Pro League?
The only issue I have with him coming to the Southern Pro League is if he does, I want it to be in a team that plays in Quad City, either in Quad City or a team that plays up in Quad City a lot, just so I can see him play. I think he would bring national media attention to the Southern League. I mean, you look at his mic'd up clips on YouTube, they got over 1 million views.
Yep.
At the very least, he's bringing publicity to your team.
Yep.
Secondly, he's putting butts in seats because it's exciting to watch him on the ice.
Yep.
And third, he is going to be, I know we discussed this off the air, but he'll be an enforcer. What an enforcer should be. Guys would be scared of him.
Yep.
Like Ryan Devine in the Southern League last year. Guys were genuinely scared to be on the ice with him because you didn't know what he was going to do.
Yep.
He'd take that 4 minute penalty just to prove a point. And maybe the fact that hockey has passed me by, but isn't that the point that when you have a tough guy out there?
Yeah.
I mean, when you hit a guy into the glass, you want it to hurt. You don't. I'm not saying you're trying to injure the other player, but you want him to come off the ice and say, "God damn, that hurt."
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not going to go in the corner when he's on the ice again.
Yeah. I always thought so.
You give somebody a two hand behind the play, he comes out, says, "Don't do that." Gives you a glove punch or two. You think, well, maybe I'm not going to do that again.
Yep. No, like I said before, it amazes me. Like you said, he has the media. He had the attention from Ice Wars. He's all over those videos. He fights in the rough and rowdy boxing contests on Barstool pay per view. He has a fight coming up here at the end of the month. So he's a known guy. He's a known entity. This is lower minor league hockey. You could bring this guy in. But like I said, back in the day, these were the guys that teams wanted to sign. The Curtis Voss, the John Morastis, the showman, Marty Malnichuk. Now, all I see online are people crying that he's mean. He hurts his team more than anything else.
Who won the championship last year?
And I'm like, if you go and watch those mic'd up videos, those guys are afraid of him. You could just see it on the videos. They just cower from him. When he comes into the pile and starts yapping, they all just disperse and no one's saying anything back to him. So don't tell me he doesn't have an effect.
He was the most effective enforcer at any level of hockey for the last 5 years. Easy.
Yeah.
When you look at a game in, game out, I'm not saying he was the best fighter. I'm not saying he's the best player. He was the most effective enforcer in minor league hockey, for especially the last 2 years that he was in Danbury, year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and then people watch it, and I guess it's so out of character now. Like, they watch this mic'd up stuff. And like I said, I've had former players, you can see it online, they bitch about it. Which, to me, is the hypocrisy is fucking hilarious, but it's just
well, revisionist history there.
It's like, well,
I don't want to piss anybody else off, but it's, yeah, it's, look into the past through rose-colored glasses, what that is.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm pretty sure you did the same thing. But it just didn't stand
out. There were guys out there doing it at the same time.
Yeah, it didn't stand out because every team had guys doing it, right? Now, when he's the only one, you know, it's like, well, yeah. So, you know. And like, listen, I get the people watch the thing and they're, you know, oh, I'm a Waterton fan or whatever, and I hate Amesbury. Oh, okay. I mean, I get it. Fine. Go team. But overall, if he played in Watertown, you'd own his jersey. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, come on.
There's a guy who played, he's played in Peoria forever. This is actually his last year. His name was Alec Hageman. He's got six fights this year. I actually got the numbers up. I don't have his point totals, but I know he's at least top five of the league in points. And he's usually top five in points, top five in PIMS. He's third in the league in fights and second in the league in PIMS. And he's the type of guy who everybody around the league hates. I would love to have him on the team in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Any of these guys. I mean, you go down this list, the list of players, even the top 10 guys, any one of these guys would be a hero wherever he played.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. And I really wish, I mean, I've said this on the show a million times, I really wish fans would recognize that. Put down, like, just stop the fandom for a second and just think about your league and the entertainment value of your league and what it brings to your league. And
well, this is absolutely apples to oranges, and I'm not comparing the two directly, but it's like art. Art is supposed to bring about an emotional reaction. Whether it's happiness, whether it's sadness, whether you're disgusted by it, it brings about an emotional reaction. And that's what these guys do. They bring about an emotional reaction. I mean, you talk to fans from other teams and they like hate these guys for what they do at work. And if you could step outside that for a second, you could see this guy is really good at his job.
Yeah,
you should be able to at least appreciate that at the very least. Like back in the United Hockey League days, look at a guy like Robin Bouchard or Jim Duhart.
Yep,
you could step outside, take your jersey off, and look at it and see he is really, really good at what he does. And as a hockey fan, you should appreciate being able to see that.
Yes. Yeah, instead they get online and cry that he should be out of the league and it's all terrible and whatever. And it's just like, but like I said, yet if he was on your team, it'd be free Pertillo shirts, right?
Oh, I know for a fact that there were people in Knoxville who hated him when he played for Vermilion County. But when the team folded and they signed him, he was one of the most popular players on the team.
Yep. Funny.
Just because he was wearing a different colored shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, so if you, like I said, we look at these, what team, I guess what, like you've seen all the teams play or whatever, who are kind of the tougher teams and who's kind of the, who's the weak link this year? Who are the softies this year?
Honestly, even though Bulka plays for him, Pensacola is pretty soft. They have 15 total fights through 29 games, and Golka's got 8 of them.
Yeah.
So he's got more than half the fights. So without him, you're looking at 7 fights in 29 games. Huntsville they've never had like an overly tough team. They're always talented. They played in Peoria this weekend, and they racked up, I want to say 7 or 8 fighting majors. They're at 19 right now, but before this weekend, I think they were at 11 or 12 through 28 games. And even Birmingham, who at the start of the year, they had a kid named Keyshawn Gervais, a First Nation guy from Canada. And he had, I want to say 6 goals in 3 fights in 4 games, something like that. before being called up to the East Coast League and staying up there. But they only have 19 fights through 29 games. But you get teams that's up here in the north. Peoria's got 36 and 30 games. Quad City's at 27 and 20, so they're a fight a game. And Evansville's just about a fight a game with 24 and 28 games. And every time those three teams play each other, like it's as close to old-school, vicious, ugly hockey as you can get. I mean, there's slashes behind the play every time guys are on the ice. It's just mean, as close to truly mean hockey as you're going to see. And, man, it's fun to watch.
There you go. So who's the biggest surprise to you? Do you have any letdowns? Has there been anybody to let you down so far?
Honestly, I'm sure some Quad City fans are going to listen to this, and I'm sure I'm not going to be liked for it, but Quad City brought in a guy named Nicola Levesque, and he was supposed to be, he played in the Federal League for a while. He was touted as, you know, he was going to be a heavyweight, and he's going to protect everybody on the ice. He's got three fights through this year. And you get guys who are skill guys dropping the gloves when he's on the ice, and it's just embarrassing. Like, there's no reason a skill guy should drop the gloves when you got a tough guy on the ice. And honestly, I'm not disappointed in how they play. I'm kind of disappointed in they haven't found the kind of competition I was hoping for. But like the Leonard brothers in Roanoke, every time they're on the ice, it's fun to watch. But they just haven't found the guys to go with them very much, even though they're both top 10 in the league in fights. They just, I watched them a couple games, and you could tell they're ready to go whenever they're on the ice. But they just don't have guys going with them as much as they want.
Yeah.
It's funny, the Sean Leonard, he's sitting at 105 penalty minutes so far this year, and he's only played 11 games. I mean, that's some old school numbers right there.
Yeah.
And you're 10 PIM a game.
Yep. Yeah, and he's been kind of he's been up in the East Coast League a couple times.
Yeah, he's been up and down. And even Portillo, he's only stacking up at 4 or 5 fights this year. Granted, I haven't watched many Knoxville games. They're going to be here in Quad City this weekend. Unfortunately, he won't be playing. But I can't imagine there's too many guys of your kind of middle-tier guys that are willing to go with him either. And then that's the same problem with a guy like Spencer Kennedy. You got to have somebody who's got, you know, willing to go with a guy who's 6-7 inches taller than you, and it's not as easy to find down here.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting going forward here for the second half, what teams do in terms of, if the East Coast League starts sending guys back down or, anybody from the Federal League comes up, that type of thing.
I've also noticed that there's been a few, I wouldn't say tough guys, but there's actually been a few guys from the LNAH who have signed in the league this past week. I'm curious to see if there's any, there's kind of skill guys, if there's any kind of tough guys, they're going to make their way down from Quebec.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you probably won't get the top tier guys, but a kind of middle tier guy who could, make as much or a little bit more and get a little more exposure. Because you're going to get like your Nico Blatchmans who go up there for a little bit and then find success in the Coast League again.
Yeah.
But if a guy wants to, try to make a run at a higher level of hockey, you're going to have to get out of Quebec to get some more eyes on you.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost like, and it's like the same story, right? It's like the LNH is, and not knocking the guys in it, but it's always going to have that stigma attached to it, right?
Right.
So it's like,
and even though, like we discussed off the air, I mean, it's not what it was by any stretch of the imagination. And there's some talented guys up there.
Oh, yeah.
It still has that. It's still the LNAH. it's still got that name attached to it.
Yeah, it's still the Chiefs movie, right? So, yeah, and it's not, but that's what people are going to think. So, yeah, like you said.
Yeah, it's still Jacques Dubé only taking face-offs next to the bench, but still getting 75 fights a year.
Yep. You know, so, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if any, like, teams kind of, like, bulk up a little bit. Like you said, and I know there's rumblings out there of Amesbury and the Southern Pro League. I know it's been looked into.
It has been looked into, I will say that.
Yep. So, I would love it if one of these teams picked them up. It'll be interesting to see, it'd be interesting if the Southern Pro League, I bet you they probably do honor the Federal League suspensions.
I was told by someone who would have firsthand knowledge that it's on a case-by-case basis, and there's no hard and fast rule for it, but I could see the league saying no.
Yeah.
But if they, like you and I discussed before we started recording, if you are a business owner, if you own a restaurant, a bar, a movie theater, you're putting your best product out there for consumption.
Yep.
Wouldn't it make sense to have your best product out there that will get as many eyes on your product as possible?
Yep. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You can say whatever you want about Daniel Avery. You don't have to like him, whatever. I get it. But whatever team he went to in the Southern Pro League, that fan base, he would be an instant fan favorite. He is a likable person. Like, the boys would like, you know, he's good with the crowd. The fans like him. He's interactive. Oh, you know,
the first time he dropped the gloves and he pumped that crowd up, there would not be five people sitting in that entire arena.
Exactly. He's got his own podcast with AJ Galante, so he's very social media savvy. He's out there. Now, the rest of the league fans, oh, I'm sure the amount of crying on Facebook would be tremendous. But those fans, wherever town he played in, would love him. So, like you said, as an owner, I'm not sure who wouldn't want that. Now, you can come back to me and say, oh, well, you know, we want someone with a little more skill or blah, 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 or is a one dimension. Like, are you, like I said, I guess this is the old man in me, or I'm just the clueless fucking idiot sitting over here. It's the Southern Pro League. I don't give a shit if someone's one-dimensional or not. If it gets people cheering, he's on the team. Now, I'm not saying, oh, let's get a whole line of them and we're going to make it the Laval Chiefs of 2005. But holy shit, one guy?
So you're going to have in the Southern Pro League, you can dress 16 guys. So most teams will dress a 10th forward or even say a 7th defenseman. But even still, that 8th, 9th, 10th forward, how many shifts are they getting a period? 3? Maybe 4?
Yeah.
And that 10th forward's getting maybe 1 or 2? So you have a 10th forward out there who in 20 games has an assist, is a minus 2, and has 6 pims. Now, is he going to impact the game more than a guy who is going to play 2 shifts a period, have 1 or 2 assists, have 30 pims, and makes the other team look over their shoulder every time he's on the ice?
Yeah. Well, and have probably 5 or 6 fights and have the highest selling jersey at the auction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are we going to pick?
When the jersey's selling $500 or $600, his is selling for $1,100.
Yeah. No, we're going to keep the guy with 1 assist in 6 minutes. Yeah, he's really moving the needle.
So I'll give you a perfect example of this. So back in the old days of Quad City, there was one jersey auction a year. Now I think there's every team has, you know, 10 jersey auctions a year.
Yeah.
There was one jersey auction a year in Quad City. The 2 highest selling jerseys every year, the highest selling jersey was Kerry Toporowski or Gary Goulash.
Yep.
1 year, Toporowski's went for $7,000. And the next year, Gary Goulash has went for $7,100. It might have been vice versa.
Yeah, it's for all those points they were putting up. Yeah,
you can't tell me it's because they're logging time on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, both of those guys could play penalty kill, regular shift, even power play once in a while. But it's not because they were playing, you know, they were the second power play line. It's because they were putting up 300 and 400 penalty minutes and rattling the boards anytime somebody got in the corners.
Yeah. No, like I said, I guess that's like that's where hockey has passed me by, because it's to me it's just absolute insanity that Daniel Amesbury can't get a job. You know, in the Southern Pro League, he'd be the toughest guy in the league.
From a hockey standpoint,
yeah.
Just from a business standpoint,
yes. And I mean, it, like, and again, everyone's talking like, yeah, like he's out there in running shoes or something. He ain't that bad. He can get up and down the ice. Again, he's not going to be running your power play, but give me a break. Like, everybody, again, talks like he's some sort of serial killer. It's like, no, you know, like, just put him as your 10th forward. He'd be arguably the toughest guy in the league. I'm sure he'd probably be the toughest guy in the league, give or take. And he'd be your most popular player. I just don't understand. And he brings all the social media attention and everything else. I just don't understand these teams thinking. I don't get it. Because every team's had a shot at him, and they haven't done it.
You know what? Even I'll play devil's advocate. Well, he's going to give the other team power plays.
Yeah.
Okay. Say he gives the other team 2 power plays a game. I don't know the stats offhand, but I guarantee you even the best power play in the Southern Pro League is going to be scoring, what, 20%?
Yeah.
Maybe. If it's a damn good power play, maybe 25%.
Yeah.
So every 2, every 3 games, that's 1 extra goal. Devil's advocate, half a goal a game, just because he's out there. But you know what? I guarantee you he's going to open up ice when he's on the ice, and that half a goal a game or third goal a game is going to come back to you twice as much.
Yeah. Well, like I'm looking at the standings here. Like I said, Amesbury is free to go wherever. I know inquiries have been made to the teams. I'm goddamn making. I had 7 wins. I can't, I mean, you know, I think everyone comes dressed as a chair by looking at the attendance numbers. Oh. Why?
Quad City was in Macon on, just this past Monday on Martin Luther King Day, which admitted it was an afternoon game, but no kids are in school, and there couldn't have been 700 people in the stadium.
Yeah. And you got 7 wins. You're dead last. Oh, yeah, better not bring him in. That might, you know, that might actually spark some interest. I would bring him in and market him to the moon. Like,
What do you got to lose?
More games, apparently. You can't win anything. You're not winning with him now. What are you going to lose with him? Well, you're already losing without him. So, I just don't, this is just insanity to me. I don't get it. Lower minors. And we're not... We got a chance to bring an entertainer in with a social media presence. Oh, no, don't do that, because somebody might cry on Facebook about it. Oh, my God. Like,
but you know what? Still talking about your team.
Yes.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Not in minor league hockey, there ain't. Fuck.
No, that's for damn sure.
I don't mean, as I said, I don't get it. Like, people listening, I'm sure there's some Southern Pro fans listening. This is the first time, last time probably listening to this show. But hey, my DMs are open. Reply in the comment section. Like, are Jay and I full of shit? Like, or what are we missing here? Someone, is there anyone in the league listening to this? Someone get a hold of me then. Tell me that I'm just so clueless. What I'm so clueless about. Like, to me, this is marketing 101. I don't understand
It's the bottom line. It's going to bring more money in than it's going to cost you.
Yes.
I don't get it.
No.
But I guess that's maybe why we don't own hockey teams.
I guess not. You know, I don't know. But anyway. And like I said, I know it's coming across like, oh, I'm waving the Amesbury pom-poms over here. But I'm just using him as an example because he's a free agent right now. And it's not like, again, it's not like enforcers are growing on trees. But I mean, he's the perfect example because he's a polarizing figure, but he's got like that social media presence about him and stuff. That's why I'm kind of talking about him, you know, because, you know, he can talk people into the building as well.
Right. You could bring in, I know there's 2 guys playing senior league hockey in Alberta right now. Travis Check, Bo Cornell. Bring one of those guys in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Malcolm Hubert.
Yeah, Malcolm Hubert.
Yeah. Because who's the cat? There's the cat there on Quad City. What's his name? Cole Gulka. He played with Malcolm Hubert and Dryden. I believe. Or he played in Dryden. Maybe he wasn't there when Malcolm Hubert was there. No, he wasn't. He was before Malcolm Hubert. But Malcolm Hubert played with on the same junior team or in the same junior league and team as Cole Gulka did. And he seems to be doing quite well in Quad City. So I'm sure Malcolm Hubert could have, who had an excellent fight at Ice Wars. And he brings that toughness. And he was a skilled
guy. And he could play a regular shift. Yes, he's not going to be a three-shift guy.
No. But again, I don't. Jay, help me understand. I don't get it. Are we that far gone?
Obviously, I don't.
Yeah.
We must be. It must be that we are the old Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets in the balcony just yelling about everything.
I guess. I don't know. Well, we're Muppets, that's for sure. But, I don't know. We've ranted and raved that they can bring toughness in and they don't, and we talked about the tough guys and some of the fight. I know as a guy that, you know, has the fights on his channel and went and reviewed some of the fights, for the folks listed, if they wanted to check it out, what are a couple of the good tilts this year that they should check out?
There's, I tell you what, the first one that comes to mind is kind of an under the radar one. Mike Moran from here in Quad City and a guy from Huntsville named Dom Procopio. They had a hell of a scrap. It was 12-22, and you will see something that you will not see very often. You will see a team with chrome helmets and chrome numbers on their jerseys.
That's terrible.
It's all, like, you know me. I am 100%. I'm 110% circus sideshow, especially when it comes to jerseys and helmets. But, I mean, those helmets are just awful.
Yeah. Oh.
There's actually a couple good. If any Mike Moran fights you want are pretty exciting. The Spencer Kennedy, Sean Gulka tilt from the 1st of December was a hell of a fight. And I mentioned his name, Matthew Hobbs, earlier. Kind of an undersized guy, barely 6 foot tall. He's willing to go with anybody. And a good example of that is his fight with Spencer Kennedy from December 9th. Kennedy takes it to him pretty good, but Hobbs eats probably 10 bombs and just walks right through them. It's an entertaining as hell fight. Or yeah. Honestly, if you go to D-Skunk on YouTube, just started the most recent, and watch most of them. I have not put up every single fight from this season. You know as well as I do, and this is nothing against the guys who are dropping them. Absolutely not. But you're not going to get a barn burner, absolute main card fight every time.
No.
So I kind of curated a list for you. Go and take a look, and you're going to be entertained.
There you go, folks. What more do you want? We got the fights. We're not only just talking about them, we're presenting them to you on video on D-Skunk on YouTube.
And after you watch all those, after you watch all my fights going back, I mean, I got United League. I got United, AHL, Central League, IHL. After you get done watching mine, go over to, what is it? Fourth Line something. I think it's Fourth Line Voice, I want to say. He's got 413,000 hours of fights on his channel, I think.
Yeah, and in saying that, that's why we are clearly out of touch with today's hockey. Yeah,
no kidding. Yeah. I'll go through and I'll watch your fights for the 15th time rather than watch an NHL game. Oh, I almost texted you. Okay, so a little behind the curtain, how the sausage is made here, folks. I mean, Darren's a good friend of mine. We text each other every day.
Yep.
And I almost texted you the other day. I got an email. I forget who. It was some NHL partner. And they said, these are the last 10 names on the All-Star team. And I could not, I had no idea who these fucking people were.
No.
Like, they could have been, like, make a player in NHL 2000 for all I know.
Yep.
I would much rather watch the fights that you got up there for the fifth time than watch anything nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, I know. No, the kids at work there were talking about, well, yeah, I don't even remember their names. I don't, if some prospect went to Anaheim. Oh, and they have this guy, and this guy. Like, they were talking to, and he's looking at me like I should know who these people are. I said, I don't know. They may as well be in the witness protection program. I have no idea who you're talking about.
They go to the picnic with Alec every year in the witness protection program.
Exactly. I'm like,
it was like that kid from who was in Philly. I texted you about him. Like, who the hell, you ever heard of this guy? You're like, no, I never did. I'm like, yeah, I didn't either. But I guess he wasn't even returning the Flyers' phone calls.
Yeah. No, I had to go look it up. What is it, Cutter Gauthier or something? But I'm like, yeah. Oh, I read that. The balls of that kid. I'm like, seriously, the Flyers fly out John LeClair and who else to go talk to you, and you won't even take the meeting? You send your agent? Holy shit, like, yeah, you haven't played a minute in the NHL. Jesus, all right. Like,
that kid's got some stones on. I don't know who he is, or I literally know nothing about him.
No.
Aside from he played it for USA in the World Juniors, because that was in the article I read.
Yeah.
But I like this kid. Yeah, he's got some huevos, man.
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, I have nothing for or against him. I'm just kind of, all right, I guess. And everybody's like, oh, it's just like what Lindros did. I'm like, not really. But
I am guessing he will not have the statistical or cultural impact of either Eric Lindros or Peter Forsberg, who kind of did the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't think so. But yeah, well, we'll see. But, yeah. Well,
if he does, I will eat one of my hats. I have many hats. I will consume one. We'll see what the future holds.
There you go. Hey, does Quad City have any upcoming? I know you always talk about the Carney stuff before we go here, and you're big into the jerseys. We talked about Kiss Night and everything else. What's around the corner for Quad City in terms of jersey night?
As a matter of fact, this weekend, it is rebrand weekend.
Okay.
They are taking the ice as the Quad City Ice Gators, paying tribute to the franchise which existed before the owner purchased it and moved it to Quad City.
Okay.
And that's a pretty sharp jersey. The jerseys are, it actually kind of has like the alligator scale look on them.
Yep.
And then next weekend, I believe, is a Scooby-Doo jersey.
Oh, see, there you go.
Did I send you pictures? They did a Day of the Dead jersey this year.
Yes.
Which evidently the Monarch Butterfly is a big representation of the Day of the Dead. And it was a big Monarch Butterfly in the jersey. And man, it was slick. I love that the local team here is willing to go off the wall. I got to give Brian and the rest of the guys and girls in the front office credit. They do a fantastic job with that. And yeah, that'll be maybe one or two more. I have some of the old school ice skaters jerseys that are going to be busted out for the weekend.
Yep.
But maybe one of those Quad City ice skaters will be being hung up in the closet after this weekend as well. Time will tell.
There you go. Well, there we go, folks. There's your kind of your half. Well, we'll get Jay on at the end of the year. We'll do a wrap up, Southern Pro League wrap up. Hopefully we'll have Jay on again before that to talk about the Major League Hockey fight tournament that's coming up, or an Ice Wars preview tournament. We'll get him and Alec back on the show, and hopefully we can have a fight tournament to talk about here coming up shortly. But
and we will do, I know it's, the phone call has been placed twice regarding another season ticket episode.
Yes.
However, as does tend to happen, we lost track and it got a bit late in the night for recording.
Yeah, but we will do that. And for those wondering what that is, basically you just take a season we just go over what happened all in that. Like, we'll go back to what season did you and I do?
It was the 05-06 UHL season. It featured Murder for Hire, a death in the middle of the season, mobsters, a federal indictment, and an anamorphic stuffed enema.
There you go. So if you're like, I want to get in on this. I'm not quite sure what episode it was, but scroll back and through my episodes. It's episode 2-something around there, but it'll say season ticket, and you'll see UHL 0506. And it was, we broke down the season, and it got very good reviews, and it got a lot of listens. And I off the top of my head, what was the female that played in every team?
Molly McAllister was her name.
She reached out to me and said she very much enjoyed the episode, and it brought back a lot of memories.
Go and listen for the tough guy talk and stay for the mention of a stuffed enema.
Exactly. What more can a... Hey, you had enemas, highlights, betting. What more do you want out of a hockey podcast, folks? I'm telling you, that's why...
Do you want my review of the sandwich that I had tonight?
Before we go, we've talked about Hialeah, we've talked about enemas. Speaking of enemas, Jay is going to talk about I got the picture of it sent to me. I will say it does not look like the television commercial, but what did you eat today?
The peanut butter onion bacon burger from Sonic Drive-In.
There you go.
And I got to give it a solid 7 of 10. It was nice and salty. Could have used more bacon, but it was pretty tasty. The sweetness from the caramelized onions with the peanut butter and bacon. It was pretty tasty. Now I might give you a different review here in 2 to 4 hours, but if you have a Sonic around you, tell them Jay the Lugan told you to come in and get the peanut butter bacon burger.
There you go, folks. What more do you want? There you go. Got a couple fat guys talking about peanut butter burgers and enemas. Yeah. I can tell you I might be number 4 in China today. I won't be by tomorrow or when this episode comes out.
This is number 2 talk.
Well, no, I was going to say enjoy the charts now because I ain't going to see them again after this. But yeah.
You're big in Bangkok.
Exactly.
Not Thailand.
Well, there we go, folks. Well, thank you, sir, for coming on. I always enjoy having you on. And there we go. There's folks. There is your halfway point of the Southern Professional Hockey League. Thank you,
sir.
Thanks
a lot, Darren. You have a good night.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?